Good morning. Go ahead and find a seat. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 30. So if you have your Bible, you can head there and we'll pray and then we'll get in. Hopefully you have your Bible. You kind of like showing up to a baseball game without a glove or a bat, right? So hopefully you show up to a Bible study with a Bible. So, all right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do just want to bless your name. This morning, we want to come before you and humble ourselves and receive from you the strength that we need as men. We ask that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit and empower us to walk in the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to make that commitment to you of no retreat, that we would decide in our hearts no turning back, that we're going to fully surrender and fully follow you no matter the cost. And we ask this morning as we look to your word that your word would encourage us and equip us for the work you've called us to do. As we get into your word, that your word would get into us and accomplish that good work you desire. So bless this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Samuel chapter 30 is where we're going to be. 1 Samuel chapter 30. What do you do when you feel like giving up? When you don't see a way forward? Do you keep going? Or do you simply give up? Do you call it quits? Do you retreat? A musician named Tom Petty wrote a song after his house was burned down by an arsonist. You might know the title. It's called I Won't Back Down. And in that song, he says, well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. This is the anthem of how the world deals with issues, how the world deals with hard problems. In fact, I was reading one soldier, his name was Joel. He lived in Kansas. He said, when my company was sent to Iraq during the first Gulf War, this was our theme song. We played this anthem nearly everywhere we went and practically wore out the cassette tape this was on. So, as Christians, how do we deal with those times, those hard times that come our way, where it seems like all hope is lost? What do we do? Well, I want to take a look at what David did here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from his life and how the Lord works in his life. So let's take a look at the first three verses here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. We'll pause there. Now at this point in David's life, he has been anointed as the king of Israel. And that happened in 1 Samuel chapter 16. In chapter 17, he fought Goliath. Most of us know that story of David and Goliath. And then he's been persecuted from King Saul, who didn't want to let go of the kingdom. And that's Samuel chapter 18, all the way to the end of 1 Samuel. David's on the run. And at this point, David's fleeing from Saul. And he decided to join the Philistines, Israel's bitter enemy, and he has 600 men with him, and their families are there as well. And so David presented himself to Achish, king of the Philistine city of Gath, and he asked for asylum. And so David is there among former enemies, and Achish gave David this town of Ziklag, and David lived there for about a year and 4 months, according to chapter 27. So he's there, he's in a foreign land, and he wants to go and fight with the Philistines, and the Philistines say, no, David, go back home. And while David and his men were north trying to join the Philistine army, their own base, Ziklag, was unguarded. And we see the Amalekites took advantage of this defenseless city, attacked it, burned it to the ground, and now David is returning back to home to see all this happening. Now, there's something interesting here, I think quite interesting. The Amalekites were the ones that God wanted utterly destroyed. You remember this, Saul was told by God to destroy the Amalekites. But Saul failed to utterly destroy them, to exterminate them. He disobeyed the commandment of God, and he lied. In fact, he said, "I've done all that the Lord told me to do." He didn't. And through that lie, he did not destroy the Amalekites. And that failure to do so led to more problems in the future. In fact, Saul, who failed to wipe out the Amalekites, was ultimately killed by an Amalekite. And this is fascinating, men, because the Amalekites are a picture of our sinful flesh, of our carnal mind. If we fail to deal with our depravity and the cravings of sin, beware. It's going to kill you. It's going to come after you. Now, what's God's solution to your depravity? God doesn't say man needs to be reformed or you need to bring your depravity under control. God's solution is you need to kill it. You need to crucify the old man. You need to mortify that flesh. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So men, we're to know that our old man, your flesh, was crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but now it's Christ living in you, our hope of glory. And so we are to mortify that flesh, not to fulfill the desires, the lust of the flesh. So as God ordered the extermination of the Amalekites, this type of the flesh, so he orders the utter destruction of our sinful flesh as well. And we need to repent of our sin. We need to put our faith and trust in Christ and allow God to do that work in our hearts and our lives through the power of his Spirit, because Jesus took our place on the cross. The penalty of our sin was put upon him on that cross. He died for our sins on that cross, shed his life's blood for you and for me, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. So we need to have that mindset that our sinful flesh has been crucified with Christ. It's not something we should be playing around with, things that draw us away from the Lord, because it will come back to get us, as it did with Saul. Now, also here in 1 Samuel 30, we see that David and his men arrived at Ziklag on the third day. And from that distance of where they were, it means they covered about 25 miles a day. That's quite a bit as they're marching back south. And when they arrived, they were tired, they were hungry, they were expecting all the comforts of a welcome home. And they didn't find any of that. And it reminds me, man, that we need to be on guard. When we're tired, when we're hungry, when we're expecting all to be well at home, get ready, because Satan knows when to attack. Often people have made terrible decisions when they're hungry. You remember Esau sold his birthright for some red lentil stew? Often people make bad choices when they're tired physically, like Elijah. Remember, he was on the run? And he'd ran a long ways away from Jezebel, and he runs to a cave, and God says, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He wasn't thinking clearly. Or maybe emotionally tired, like Job's wife. At one point was just sick and tired of all the suffering and the turmoil in the family, and turned to her husband and said, "Let's just end all of this. Why don't you just curse God and die?" So we need to be on guard. When we're tired, when we're hungry, when we're expecting things to be well at home. We need to be on guard and don't make those important decisions when we're tired and hungry. Often we fail to communicate in a loving and truthful way that pleases the Lord. And I think it's good advice to wait a day before making an important decision. Spend some time in prayer about it. Get God's perspective on the matter. God's not in a hurry. Seek Him and let Him guide you and lead you. So now David and his men, off in the distance, see that something's wrong. They can see smoke rising from the city. But it's not the smoke from the campfire of cooking fires. No, it's too much smoke for that. It's black smoke. And they're wondering why no one had come to greet them afar off. Where are their wives and their children? Weren't they glad to see them? They come to the city and they see it's a ghost town. They see a pile of burned rubble and no voice of the survivors. It seemed as everything was lost. You know, there's something called the Murphy's Law, or Murphy's Rule, that anything that can go wrong will go wrong. I don't know if you've ever had one of those days where it seems like things tend to go wrong. That's what was going on with David at this point. Couldn't go fight, sent back home, goes back home, and the town was burned down and his family's not there. And instead of coming home to a place of comfort and of a sanctuary, they found their cities burned and their women and their children are taken away by the Amalekites. So how do we respond to that situation? Well, let's see what David did. And we see that next here in verse 4 through verse 6. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We'll pause there. David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to cry, no more strength left in them to mourn and to grieve over the situation. It was like the wind was knocked out of their sails. They were knocked to the ground. They didn't know what else to do except cry out. It seemed as all hope was lost at this point. All was lost. And David had nothing more to support him. No one in Israel could help him. Remember, Saul wanted to kill him. The Philistines didn't want him, sent him back from helping with the army and their war. His family was gone. All that he owned was gone or burned. And now even his friends, these so-called companions, them turn against him. They speak of stoning him to death. So every support was gone, except one, the Lord. And that's not a bad place to be in. Sometimes it's the only place you can really get encouragement, is in that place where all hope is lost except hope in the Lord. Things are so bad that the only place you can find encouragement is in the Lord. Sometimes as a small church pastor, I can find myself feeling like my community doesn't want me to be there. The other churches in our town don't want me to be there. Or that maybe I should just simply give up, call it quits, retreat. I've been run off the road by a semi-truck 4 years ago as I was coming back from work. I've been lied about in our community and recently undergone some treatment on my vocal box with some issues. The devil wanted to destroy and crush my ability to speak. So there are times in our life where we can feel like we're ready to give up. But I come back to the truth knowing God wants me in Fergus Falls. God wants me there. He's called me to be there. He's given me a voice. And while I still have my voice, I'm going to use it to proclaim the gospel, to teach His word, and let people know that there is a God, and they can get to know this God, and that this God loves them. So God has, in time, made me into a broken man. I know that my strength alone is in Him. He's the one that I turn to. When I got nowhere else to go, I go to the Lord. And He's always faithful to comfort and to strengthen. And David learned this too. He encouraged himself in the Lord. This is a marvelous place to be. It's something I think that we all ought to be more doing ourselves, is encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Strengthen ourselves in the Lord like David, coming back to our God. From God we receive the strength we need to carry on. We can boldly come to God and ask for His help in our time of need. And we can receive it from the Lord. But we have to humble ourselves and ask Him. Oftentimes we are maybe too prideful to ask God for help. I got this one, Lord. I can handle this on my own. And yet it's like these times where David realizes you got nothing left to do except fall on your knees in prayer and cry out to God for help. It's those times that we finally see ourselves as weak. We realize how strong the Lord is in our lives. We can be strengthened through the Lord. So David knew he was weak at this point. He knew he needed God's strength. And that's a marvelous place to be as men. We need to realize that our strength is in the Lord. We need God's strength. We need His help. And God's strength was there for David all the time. It was always there. But now he takes it for himself and strengthens himself in the Lord his God. So men, my first point is you need to ask God for strength. You need to ask God for help. You need to go to the Lord in prayer and seek Him. Seek Him for strength for this life. Also, David could remember God's love at this point of total loss. David could now see the love of the Lord in his life. The rejection of the Philistine leaders to fight with them. You see, if God had not sent him back home after this rejection of the Philistines, it could have been another months and months and months before he returned home and then found this terrible situation. It would have been far worse. So that which stunned him before now became sweet to him, that he could go and deal with the situation. It reminds me sometimes God closes a door. And until He opens the next door, we're to learn to praise Him in the hallway. We're learning to trust Him, that He's got something in store for us. It's not an easy lesson to learn, but we need to learn that. And so, man, my second point here is you need to remember God's truth, that He loves you. Remember the truth of God's love for you and where He has you. May not be where you want to be, but it's where He has you. And He loves you. And He loves right where you're at. And then David could remember God's promise and God's calling. He could shake his head, clear the fog, and say, you know what? I'm a man anointed by God. God has called me. He's anointed me. He's promised to me that I'm going to be the next king of Israel. Doesn't look like it's going to happen right now, but I know that's what He's promised me. And he could encourage himself and say, I have a high calling and promise from God. He hasn't taken that away. I need to start living according to that truth. There are many truths in the Scripture that we need to live according to. And like David, we need to come back to what we know to be true. Hold on to God's promises. We need to know that we are called by God. We need to know that we are empowered by God. We're called to be in the church fellowship we are in. It's no accident that you're here this morning. Didn't surprise God. He went. He's at the men's conference. No way. God knew that. Maybe it surprised you or the people around you, but God knew that. And so we need to be in the church fellowship we're in because God's called us to be there. And hopefully you know the church that you're in. That's right where God's called you to be. It's His perfect will that you're in that fellowship. God's called you to be there. So amen, point number three is you need to remember your calling. Remember the promises of God. And David could also remember God's past deliverances. He could say, you know, this is a terrible situation. I've never been in a situation before. But I can remember all the times the Lord delivered me out of hard situations before. I can remember this giant Goliath, how God delivered me that day, and it was his victory. So often we look at that and we think, you know, of David's victory, it's really God's victory. God's the one who got the glory for that day. And that's the same in our lives. We need to have this kind of confidence in the Lord where we can look back and see his faithfulness in our life and how he answers our prayers. So often we are forgetful as men. We forget things, misplaced things. We forget names. I'm bad at that. Sometimes we even forget what we were going to say. Maybe mid-conversation, and you're thinking, what was I saying? What was I going to do? You're down tying your shoes, and you're thinking, what else can I do while I'm down here? So we forget, right? We need to write things down. We put in our calendar, right? So I would encourage you, write things down. Keep a record of the many ways God answers your prayers and works in your life, the way he brings about deliverance in your life. Because if you don't write it down, you're probably going to forget it. And if you write it down and you go back and you look at that and remember it, man, what a great opportunity to be a witness of the Lord, to tell someone else. You know, I was just looking over what the Lord did in my life, and man, let me tell you what he's done. Let me encourage you in your situation. And as we do that, actually encourages us. We can realize God's faithfulness in our life. We can realize how much he's answered our prayers. So next time you're discouraged, read over that list. See how God is so faithful in your life. So, man, point number four is remember God's faithfulness. Keep a record of his deliverance in your life. Now, this of David strengthening himself and the Lord his God, it's a spiritual strengthening. It's not the world encouragement stuff, right? It's not this kind of rah-rah cheerleader, positive thinking, mumbo-jumbo kind of stuff you hear, right? Not the motivational speaker kind of stuff and, you know, think positive thoughts about yourself. And, you know, you need to spend 10 minutes of meditation of how great a person you are, and it's all about you, right? No, this was the strength of the living God making itself real in the life and the heart of a hurting man. This was the strength for recognition, strength for brokenness, strength for repentance, and strength for determination to win back what the enemy had stolen. And this is the same strength that would eventually rise Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this strength is available to us today by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to ask. We have to humble ourselves, not be prideful and say, oh Lord, help. I need your help. Empower me by your Spirit. Give me strength for today. I need you. So we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord as well and follow the example that David has. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Again, we see that David and his mighty men, they're not so mighty at this point, are they? There are times in our life where people can look at us and they say, well, you're a Christian. Wow. Looks like everything's falling apart in your life. How's that working out for you? What's it like following Jesus when everything falls apart, huh? Maybe difficult, right? But the reality is we're holding on to the Lord. We know that he's the one who's going to get us through it. Sometimes we have this wrong portrayal of the gospel of Christ that you come to Christ and everything's going to be wonderful and everything's going to be better. And we try and bring people to Jesus, say, come on, come to Jesus. He's going to bless you and everything in your life's going to turn out to be better. May not. May go the other direction, right? And so we need to find our strength in the Lord. We need to realize that no matter what happens in our life, we can turn to him and find our strength in God. Well, next we'll see what David and his mighty men do. We'll take a look at, well, let's do verse 7 all the way through verse 25. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue. You shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him. They came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian, verse 11, in the field, and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man from Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite. My master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We had made an invasion in the southern area of the Trethorites in the territory which belongs to Judah and the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, well, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hand of my master, and I'll take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down there, there they were, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except for 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took the flocks and the herds, and they had driven before those other livestock, and said, this is David's spoil. Verse 21. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they had also made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute, an ordinance for Israel to this day. Again, we see out of the 600 men that were with David, 200 of them stayed behind because they were too tired to cross this river. And this river was carved out of these small cliffs in the hillside. So they stayed behind. They were tired. I mean, they had just been traveling 25 miles a day to get back, and then they're going to go and try and get back their family and their stuff, and they're exhausted. I've done a little bit of running. I I'm going to be preparing for hopefully a 10-miler this summer. When I was in Scouts, before I became Eagle Scout, we would camp all the time. And I remember we'd hike 10, 12 miles in a day. And it could be exhausting. So here they're going about 25 miles a day. These guys were tired. I mean, it was sun up, get your gear, let's go. Sun down, you know, is it getting cold? They're weary. And they see this river's carved, this kind of cliff into the hill bank, and they're thinking, I don't have the strength to climb up over that. I just don't. I'm going to stay here with the supplies. So these 200 guys are there, and they're staying behind. They're tired. And those that went with David, they defeated the Amalekites. They thought, hey, that's unfair. Those who stayed behind, they shouldn't share in the plunder. I mean, they didn't do any of the hard work. That David decreed that they should all share alike. I believe this is a rule that God has implemented today in the area of missions and evangelism. So as we send and support missionaries, as we're staying here by the stuff, so to speak, the supplies, we share equally in the rewards and the fruit of their ministries. I think this applies to those that give of their time and their talents and their treasure to the local church. And they're going to equally receive the reward of those that go into battle. And note the mission of the men here. It was to pursue their families after they pursued God. It was to pursue their family after they pursued God. Sometimes we get that backwards, men. Sometimes we pursue God after we pursue our families. We need to pursue God first. And then pursue our family. And as men, we need to be seeking God and asking for Him to lead us so that we can lead our family. It's hard to be a godly dad to your kids if God's not being your Heavenly Father and leading you. Right? It's hard to wash your wife with the water of the Word if God's not washing you with the water of the Word. Right? It's hard to give what you haven't received. We need to receive from the Lord. We need to let Him do that work in us so that we can minister to our spouse, to our kids, to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our brothers and sisters in the church fellowship. Right? We need to be led by the Lord first before we can lead others. We need to pursue God before we can pursue anything else in life. We don't want to make that mistake. And if you're married, after you pursue the Lord, pursue your wife. Be Christ-like to her. My wife has told me there's nothing more attractive to her than when I'm seeking the Lord, spending time in the Word, spending time on my knees in prayer. She'll come around the corner and she'll see me praying. She likes that. She knows that I'm spending time with the Lord. You know, that's beautiful to her. And I would say the same thing. If I'm coming home later and I see that she's in the bedroom and she's reading her Word, that's awesome. That's beautiful. That's a cool thing. And then as you become a parent, you watch your kids. I've caught my kids a few times in their room reading their Bible on their own. It's not me having Bible time before bed with them. They're reading on their own. That is so sweet. Or hear your kids' prayers. The things that they're asking God about and talking to Him about. Or one of my kids, he loves making up his own worship songs. Hearing him sing to the Lord, man, what a joy. What a joy. But he's not going to get any of that if he doesn't hear Dad sing at all. My wife's not going to get it in the Word if she doesn't see me get in the Word. Right? Got to lead by example. Got to pursue God first and then pursue our family. Every godly woman wants a godly man who seeks the Lord will come and be her rescue. So what does your wife need? What do your children need? What does your church need? What does the world need from you? Christ-likeness. They need to see Christ in you. They need to see Jesus Christ living in you and through you. And this is where we're to strive toward. We're to strive towards the Lord. Draw close to Him. Allow Him to do that work in and through our lives. Now, we live in a fallen world, lives in darkness and death. We see how the world responds to fear. I mean, you look at this coronavirus. How does the world respond to fear, guys? Panic, right? It's like Moses at the Red Sea. There's nothing left to do except panic. Oh, we can pray. Oh, didn't think about that. We can pray. We can seek the Lord. He can give us calm and peace about the matter. And we see how the kingdom of evil spreads around the world with fear, with violence. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos of people fighting over toilet paper. There's some violence going on. I saw a video of a couple ladies going after it. You got all this toilet paper, you don't need that. It's mine, it's in my cart. They're going at it, like, whoa, come on, calm down. The peace of the Lord. Man, that's what the world needs. I think really the solution is a godly fear is what people need. Reverence of the Lord. An awe-inspiring fear of God, His holiness. That's the solution for all the other fears. You have that fear, there's nothing left to fear, right? Scripture tells us perfect love casts out fear. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And how the world needs a sound mind right now. Common sense is no longer common. It's true. We need a sound mind. We get that from the Lord. So, we need to seek the Lord in this fallen world. We need to respond by faith and trust in the Lord and not on fear. David and his men were fearful. They were going to kill him. I mean, they didn't know what to do. David strengthened himself in the Lord. The men followed. They realized, we can't go to the Lord for help. We can find that He can calm our fears. We can find peace in the Lord. And I got to say this. You and I were not called to sit in front of a television set. Some of you need to turn the TV off. Quit watching too much news. It's impacting the way you're thinking. We're called to be in the Word. And maybe some of you, you need to realize you're not called to give yourselves to outdoor hobbies. There's nothing wrong with that, but that shouldn't be the devotion of your life. We're called to advance the kingdom. I remember one preacher put it this way. He said, we are to live with a passion to fight for Christ. And only once in a while drop our swords and look up for a smile. We should want to fight. We should not want comfort. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty, such as intercessory prayer, the proclamation of the gospel, and sacrificial love. Hopefully you realize that. You're on the battleground, man. It's not a playground, it's a battleground. We're in the middle of a war. Spiritual battle going on all around us. And so we need to rise up and do what God's called us to do. We need to be valiant and strong. But we also need to know it's going to cost us. It's going to cost you. You take your stand beside Jesus Christ and His cause, you'll watch the devil come after you, buffeting you from the outside and from the inside. You find out who your true friends are. Find out how people see Christ in you, and that light shining so brightly, it hurts their eyes and they want nothing to do with you anymore. Now that's what war is about. You're going to have hardships come your way. Had David given up at this point, little did he know, he would never become the king of Israel had he given up. Had he retreated at this point, there would have been a lot he would have lost. If you read the next chapter, the last chapter of 1 Samuel, guess what happens? King Saul dies. He's destroyed by an Amalekite. In fact, all of the second book of Samuel records the highlights of David's reign as David becomes the king of Israel. And it reminds me, sometimes we never know how close we are to victory if we give up and retreat. So we need to make that decision today. Like David, we're going to pursue the Lord. No turning back, right? There's no turning back. We're not going to give up. We're not going to retreat. There's no turning back. I want to close with these words. It's called I Am a Soldier. It's by Dr. Danny L. Moody. He was the president of the Arlington Baptist College. He said, I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be bought out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me in the Sunday school to teach the children, to work with the youth, help adults, or just learn, he can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primped up, pumped up, picked up, peppered up, because I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me, because I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me gifts, food, a card, give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, catered to. I am a soldier. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander-in-chief calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain, allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army of God. I am marching. I am claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I will not retreat. I am a soldier marching heaven-bound. Here I stand. Who will stand with me? Father, we thank you that you've called us to be a soldier in your army. God, would you give us strength to be valiant men, men who realize we've been called to advance your kingdom. It's high time the church awake. It's high time as guys we rise up and be the men you've called us to be. To realize that we need you to empower us for this life. God, would you continue to supply all of our needs? Would you continue to give us strength? Help us, Lord, to follow you, our commander in chief. Help us to know that we cannot lose because we will come out ahead with you, Jesus. Help us to continue to put our faith and trust in you and the days ahead. Help us to realize that we are a soldier in your army. Help us to use this sword for your glory. We ask that you would strengthen us, equip us, anoint us, empower us as your men, your soldiers, and your army. We pray this in